Well, the source says silent prayer to prepare our hearts. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we shall commence with our family altar. Let's sing hymn number 16. Hymn number 16. In the name of Jesus, I speak. We give thanks to our Lord. For tonight, our family altar, we will discuss Psalms number 110. We will discuss Psalms number 110. Let us read through these Psalms. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, "Rule in the midst of your enemies." Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power, in holy array from the womb of the dawn. Your youth are to you as the dew. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will fill them with corpses. He will shatter the chief men over a broad country. He will drink from the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he will lift up his head. So this is the content of Psalms number 110. Let's see the superscription. Just speak about a Psalm of David. So it is Mizmor, Psalm accompanied by string instrument. What is this Psalm about? This is a Psalm. Some reckon this is a royal Psalm. A royal Psalm. Here we see the oracles concerning the Messianic King Priest. So here we can see an oracle concerning the Messianic King Priest. For our discussion, We will discuss this Psalms 110 from two aspects. Firstly, that is to say, from the physical, and then later the spiritual, the historical, and then the prophecy. So these Psalms, it is an oracle concerning the Messianic King Priest. And then this Psalm, it marks the characteristic of a coronation psalm. A royal psalm concerns coronation, a coronation psalm, possibly composed for the use at the enthronement of a new Davidic king. So here we can see this psalm, it has the mark of a coronation psalm composed for use at the enthronement of a new Davidic king. So it may be possible that David here composed the psalm for the coronation of his son Solomon. Possibly, it may be that David here composed the psalm for the coronation of his son Solomon, so that he called him my Lord in verse 1, my Lord, in view of the new status of Solomon, which place Solomon above the aged David at that time. So this may be possible. So if this is a coronation psalm, the psalm that is composed for the coronation of Solomon, if we view it from this aspect, so the psalm would tell us like this. Let us see, this psalm is divided into two major parts, verses 1 to 3, and 4 to 7. Let's discuss the first part, verses 1 to 3. Verses 1 to 3, we can see the Lord's decree, establishing his anointed as his regent in the face of all opposition. The Lord's decree, establishing his anointed as his regent in the face of all opposition. Let's see verse 1. Verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, so that is to say, the Lord said to my Lord, so God said to Solomon, sit at my right hand, sit at my right hand. So sit here means to be enthroned, sit enthroned as the king. And then right hand, the place of honor beside a king. Thus, he is made second in authority to God himself. So, sit at my right hand, God say. That is to say, the place of honor beside a king. But then, he is made second in authority to God himself. We understand, that is to say, the system at the time of governing government is theocracy. That is to say, God rules. This concept we can see from 1 Samuel. So, the form of government is theocracy. That is to say God rules. But now, the people by rebellion, they ask for an earthly king. So, by doing this, we can see how they have rejected God as the king. The request for a king so constituted a denial of their covenant relationship with the Lord, whereby the Lord was their king. So no matter what, however, God gave them a king. But now the question is, how to continue this system of theocracy whereby God rules? How is able to preserve this theocracy? So here in the book of Samuel, we are able to see how Samuel renewed the covenant, how Samuel placed the monarchy, the kingdom in Israel, very different from the surrounding nations. The king in Israel was not to be autonomous in his authority and power. So not like the other kingdom, the kings. So the king in Israel was not to be autonomous in his authority and power. Rather, he was to subject to the law of the Lord and the word of the prophet. So must subject to the law of God and the word of the prophet. So the king was an instrument of the Lord's rule over his people. So it is still God who rule. But the king was an instrument of the Lord's rule over his people. And the people as well as king were to continue to recognize the Lord as their ultimate sovereign king. So the Israelite king was merely an instrument of the Lord to rule over his people. They don't have the autonomous in authority and power. Rather, the king is to be subject to the law of God and also the word of the prophet. So here we can see, come back to Psalms number 110. So the Lord says to my Lord, God told Solomon in a way, sit at my right hand. So he will be seat and throne, but then he will be seated at the right hand. He is made second in authority to God himself. And then, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet, that's to say, ancient kings often had themselves portrayed as placing their feet on vanquished enemies. The kingdom will be victorious, triumph over the enemies. And then verse 2, the Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of the enemies. So, to expand the reign, widening the circus until no foe remain to oppose the rule. So how the kingdom will flourish. And then Zion here, we can see David's royal city, but also God's royal city where he rules as the great king. So the Lord's anointed here, Solomon, is his region over his emerging kingdom in the world. So the kingdom will flourish, will prosper, will grow. And then what happened? Verse 3, your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power, in holy array from the womb of the dawn. Your youth are to you as the dew. Here it depends on how we want to see in this verse 3. That is to say, volunteer freely, just like a free will offering. So if we view this as the young people, so they will offer themselves as dedicated warriors to support the king in the battlefield. So they will offer themselves as dedicated warriors to support the king in the battlefield. And then here, how it mentioned concerning the holy array from the womb of dawn, your youth are to you as the dew. If here speak about all these young warriors, so all these young warriors will flock to the king, to him, and then describe them as dressed in the priestly garb, ready to participate in a holy war. And then they will pour into the camp morning by morning as the dew. And then we can see their youthfulness, their energetic, their greatness. There will be this abundant warriors. But then if we view this holy array from the womb of the dawn, the youth, if it refer to Solomon, and then here it depict how he is clothed in royal majesty and glory, and perpetually preserving the youthfulness, just as the womb of the dawn give birth each morning to the dew. How we can see it preserved the youthfulness, how the king continue to be young, energetic. So here, verses 1 to 3, we can see the Lord's decree establishing his anointed as his regent in the face of all opposition. Let's see the second part, verses 4 to 7. Verses 4 to 7, we can see the Lord's oath establishing his anointed as king priest in Zion and assuring him victory over all powers that oppose him. Let's see verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. So the Lord has sworn. This also has got to do with the covenant to maintain David's royal line forever. So the Lord had sworn to maintain David's royal line forever. And then here say, the priest, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. David and his royal son, as chief representative of the rule of God, they perform many worship focused activities such as overseeing the Ark of the Covenant, or building and overseeing the temple, overseeing the work of the priest and Levite and the temple worship. So in all these duties, they exercise authority over or even the high priest. But they could not engage in those specifically priestly function that had been assigned to the Aaronic priesthood. So here we can see the function of the king are matters pertaining to this. We are able to see in verse 5, the Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. So God is near to assist the king in the warfare, especially. And then how they'll be victorious in the battlefield, how it depicts the victory over all powers that oppose the kingdom in verse 6. And then in verse 7, even in the heat of the battle, so the king will find refreshment and lift up his head with undiminished vigor. Just like just now, verse 3 may be able to present to us. So even in the heat of the battle, he will find refreshment and lift up his head with undiminished vigor. And then they will be victorious, the victory over all powers that oppose him. So this is, if we will wait, concerning this, that is to say, enthronement of Solomon. Now, let us reread from the spiritual aspect. So, that is to say, this is messianic. This is also a prophecy. This Psalms is frequently referred to in the New Testament. Of course, it referred to Christ. So, this Psalm is frequently referred to in the New Testament testimony to Christ. Before the Christian era, the Jews already view it as messianic. But because of the manner in which it has been interpreted in the New Testament, especially by Jesus in the Gospel, also by Peter in Acts, and then the author of Hebrews, so the Christians have generally held that this is the most directly prophetic of all the Psalms about the Messiah. David is speaking prophetically. We can read 2 Samuel chapter 23 verse 2. We can read 2 Samuel chapter 23 verse 2, how the Spirit of the Lord guided this David in writing. In verse 1 mentioned that he is the sweet psalmist of Israel. And then 2 Samuel chapter 23 verse 2, how the Spirit of the Lord moved him. So David, speaking prophetically, moved by the Spirit, composed this psalm, referring to Christ, the enthronement of Christ. So how he spoke a word that had far larger meaning than he know. So he spoke about Christ. So let us see. So verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord. So God said to David's Lord. So here says, the Lord say to my Lord means Jesus. So God say to Jesus, after he accomplished the will of the Heavenly Father. And then how he say, how God, the Father says to the Lord Jesus, sit at my right hand. Right hand means he is exalted. Christ is exalted. We can see many parts of the New Testament referenced to Jesus exalted. In the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, we are able to see Acts, Romans, Ephesians, Colossians, Hebrew also we have. But especially, we can focus upon Acts chapter 5 verse 31. Acts chapter 5 verse 31. And then also Romans chapter 8 verse 34. So here, it says, sit at my right hand, at the right hand of power. So here means the Lord has been exalted after he accomplished salvation. He has been exalted and then he become the mediator, the savior. He become the mediator, the savior. Unto him is given a name that is above all name, at the name of Jesus, how man will be saved. So the Lord said to Jesus, sit at my right hand. He has been exalted. He played the role as a mediator, the savior. Acts 5 verse 31. Romans 8 verse 34. And then, until I make your enemies your footstool, that is to say, he'll be victorious ultimately over death and over the devil. And then, verse 2, how Jesus rule in the church, the kingdom of God, he also rules in the kingdom of man. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. How Jesus rule in the church, the kingdom of God. He rules also in the kingdom of man. In Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 4, we are able to see, in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 4, through the gospel, we can see God's kingdom conquering and to conquer. He's the savior of the body. He's the head of the church. And then how verse 3, through his Christian armies, so the gospel, the kingdom will be established, will be preached for Christian armies. How there are many young volunteers coming out to serve the Lord, to preach, to evangelize. And then verse 4 tell us, especially reference to Hebrews chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 7, how the Lord, he is king of righteousness, he is the king of peace. And then how the Lord priesthood is according to the order of Melchizedek. Reference is Hebrews chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 7. The priest of the Lord, how it mentioned the permanent priesthood of the Lord according to order of Melchizedek. It tells us how the Lord is greater, how he received a tithe from the patriarch Abraham. So how great it is, this priest Melchizedek, whereby even the patriarch Abraham give a tithe, and then how he also blessed Abraham. The lesser is blessed by the greater. So we can see Christ, this priest, how he is greater, how he is great. And then we can see the permanent priest forever, a better priesthood, a better service, a better sacrifice. How this priesthood of the Lord is not controlled by weaknesses or sin. No need to yearly sacrifice as a reminder of sin. And then not replaced by death of the high priest, whereby it is a perpetual priesthood of the Lord. So we can see the son of David is installed by God as king and priest after the manner of Melchizedek. So the king priest of God most high at Jerusalem in the days of Abraham. As such, a king priest, he was anointed to a higher order of priesthood than Aaron and his son. And it is a better priesthood. So here we can see that this is messianic. Speak about Christ, whereby he is the Messiah, he is the king and the priest. So we give thanks to our Lord. Together we will pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Let us all recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We give thanks to our Lord Jesus, our family altar we end here tonight. Peace be to all. Amen.